Yo, what up, everybody? This is your boy, Wavy McGuire, a.k.a. The Ignorant Know-It-All, 92 The Spot. We are here live, 12 to 1, every Saturday. I'm chilling with my boy.
It's the Brooklyn Basquiat, a.k.a. The Brooklyn Mint. Welcome to the show, everybody. So, Wavy.
You got the Brooklyn Mint. I like
the,
that.
The Brooklyn Mint. You know, but you know, let's not make this about me, you know.
It's not about me. It's about everybody that listens to the show.
I just
want to
tell everybody that Wavy, you know, the reason we were out
last
Saturday was because, of course, you know, I had an event to do.
And it's big time.
And yours truly over here was on tour.
And
can you tell us all about it, Wavy?
So I was on tour.
Let us know who you were with. Where did you go? How was the experience? Tell us all about
it. I'm not giving everybody all that. I'm just going to tell everybody it was a
dope tour.
You know,
people want to feel...
Yo, listen.
People want to know how it feels to be a star. So
I'm not a star. I'm not a star. You can look up in the sky. There's stars out there, stars in space. I'm just a regular individual that make people laugh. I was on tour with Tori Hart. For those that don't know who Tori Hart is, Tori Hart is Kevin Hart's ex-wife. She's an actor, movie producer, movie director, comedian. So she's been on tour for all of these city wineries that have been going on. And it's been dope. It's been a dope experience. You know what I'm saying?
Really? So how does it feel to be a feature, like... Are people going to the shows now to come see you? And how do they respond to you when they see you after the show?
They actually love it. They just like, yo, you a great talent. You're very funny. Which I try to be. You know what I mean? I try to truthfully I'm being really, really modest with everything. Like, dude, I really enjoy the whole art of comedy. I really love the art of comedy. I've always wanted to be a comedian. It's great that I'm... It's phenomenal. It's a dope experience that I'm performing and able to perform and meet comics that I grew up on.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? And this has been really a dope experience. I want to continue to go on the road with Tori. I think she has like two more stops. I think she's in Orlando. Then she's doing the Philadelphia City Winery. And I think she's in Atlanta. But around that time, I'm going to be out traveling the country with friends and family. I'll be in Morocco. Just wanted to throw that out there.
Oh, wow.
International Wavy. So yeah.
So before you go international, you said you went to Nashville. I think you went.
Yeah. So we were in Boston. We were in Nashville. Boston. I've performed in Boston, but I didn't perform in Boston. I was in Cambridge the last show I did at a brewery, which was really dope. But the City Winery in Boston, phenomenal. I love the setup. I think all of the setups are kind of pretty much the same. Nashville was really dope. The last time I was in Nashville,
I love Nashville,
was in 2010. So they've really upgraded a lot of the bars, the restaurants.
You know, I just want to stop you for a minute. You know, anybody who hasn't been to Nashville, you know, I'm telling you right now, that is the place to go.
You have to go to Nashville.
A lot of people, you know, go to ATL. A lot of people go...
Stop going to
Atlanta. Carolina. Yo, Nashville is a great place to go, especially if you like to go bar hopping. You know, a lot of restaurants, a lot of food, a lot of good music. So if you ever need a place to go just for the weekend, a quick trip, Nashville is it.
Nashville is the equivalent to going to New Orleans. Like, they both have nothing but food, music, women, music, and food, and a lot of alcohol. A lot of alcohol. But it was dope, you know. Did, even before that, was in L.A., did first impressions, really dope. I got my graduation spot, so I'll be back in L.A. performing at the world-famous Laugh Factory September 1st.
Wow, congratulations.
Which is
going
to be really dope. So, you know, like I said, let my mentor know. He hit me up, very excited. Always says, you know, continue to work and make that next set better than what it was that you did the previous night. So yeah, it's gonna be really, it's gonna be a fun 2024. Like we already said, 2024 was all about elevation, and that's what's been happening so far. A lot of things have been elevated.
Well, speaking of elevator,
I
too was away.
So what you do?
I just wanted to give a shout out to the Harlem Fine Arts Show.
I heard that was a really dope, it was really dope,
fancy schmancy event.
Shout out to my auntie Teresa Red, who put that whole event together and curated that whole event.
I want to give a shout out to Richard Pelzer.
Richard Pelzer?
And the founder, Dion. They really did a wonderful event.
Who is Richard Pelzer?
Richard Pelzer is the one that actually put it all together for the Harlem Fine Arts Show at the Glass House. You know, it was a long, you know, arduous, you know, kind of.
Say that word again. What was that word?
You know, it was arduous. You know,
arduous.
A lot of work.
Let me go with those big words again. Arduous.
Yeah, that Jesuit that, training that, yeah, at Fordham University. But
arduous.
But yeah, you know, a lot of work goes into these big events, and it happened at the Glass House. The Glass House is right across the street from, like, the Intrepid. So it was really fantastic. Of course, you know, Kamiki Whiskey was in the house in the VIP room, and you know, the response was just, you know, spectacular, and you know, it was a successful event. And you know, I was really happy. I'm tired, but it was really, really a great event, and I look forward to working with them more in the future.
That's dope.
Yeah, but yeah, moving on. You know, there's a lot going on in these YouTube streets.
But first, I just want to give a shout out to 92.6 The Spot. Shout out to Ben, because we haven't given the Boss Man a shout out in a minute.
Always giving a shout out to the Crime Bosses at WKBP.
Know me?
You know, of course, Bowtie Ben.
Every
Ben
Saturday.
92.6 The
yes,
Spot.
Yes, sir.
Every Saturday, we're here.
12 to 1.
Right. So, you know, your man, Brother Love.
Who's my man? That's not my man.
Your boy, Brother Love.
First of all, stop calling him Brother Love.
It's in the news again.
He's about to be Brother Lockdown. You know what I mean?
Brother's about to be locked down. He's in the news again. You know, so reportedly there's this producer who was working on the Love album for many months with Diddy. And, you know, he first started it all with a GoFundMe page, I guess, to sue Diddy because he didn't get his publishing. He received...
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Why, when there's always a tragic moment in someone's life, everyone always resorts to opening up a GoFundMe page? Like, that shit, son.
Because it's rough in these streets. That's why people go, we used to do a Susu, right?
Susu's is different. A Susu is way different from a GoFundMe page.
But it's kind of like you get the community together to perform.
Susus are actually done in places of business, right? So, you know, every week, your paycheck.
Right.
So when your paycheck hits, you know, depending on what the amount of money is, you put that money in there. It could be like 12 to 13 to 15 people, and you know, each week within that 15 weeks someone gets that money, but you have to continue to put the money in, and the money spreads around. It's just having the fast quick cash.
Yeah.
But a GoFundMe page, son, for everything. And I'm tired of everyone taking these GoFundMe pages. Next thing you know, they out there in the river Maya or whatever, somewhere in Mexico, having fun and partying. But anyway, back to my man, who's this producer who produced a lot of the records on that Love album.
Yeah,
put this GoFundMe page together, and now he's
so he started off like that, but now he's expanded into this big thing, lawsuit, where he says he was abused, you know, sexually, he was fondled. But according to the documents, he does have receipts with it. So there are pictures, there are videos. So, you know, already they've released some footage of Cuba Gooding Jr. You know.
Not my man Radio.
Your man Radio. Feeling him up, rubbing him up.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it's just crazy. You know, he dropped names like Stevie J. Meek Mills.
Is
getting destroyed by Diddy in the bedroom, you know, or vice versa.
It's like that story that your man put out, Gene, the former bodyguard or the former head of security.
Actually,
where they said that, what's his name?
His name is Gene Deal. He was the security for Diddy for many, many years. He's the most credible of them all. But even he did not say all the salacious
things
that are coming out now. Now he was the first to say it. Nobody believed him.
But now after
Cassie absolutely opened up the Pandora's box. You know, everybody's just saying everything.
So here's the funny shit.
Meek Mill is on Twitter trying to defend his life.
He can't defend himself. Here's the funny shit. So the funny shit is, like what your man is saying, how Meek Mills is getting murdered and getting murdered on the scene as far as, you know, Diddy touching him and, you know, Diddy using his daddy words like, hey, daddy. You know what I'm saying? Like all of that. The funny story was that reminds me of Diddy really laying it down with a lot of these rappers is when Gene was saying that Ja Rule's cousin came to the crib and then both Diddy and Ja Rule ran out the house with their towels wrapped around their waist. Right. I was like, boy, I paused. That was funny.
Yeah, so okay.
Yo, I'm just saying. I'm
glad you got that out. But yeah, no.
Why would you think? I just wanted to say because it's just a lot of slander that's out there. Like Diddy is really out here hoeing with a lot of these rappers.
No, but at least him and the story with Ja Rule allegedly was consensual. You know, that's different. You know, Ja Rule.
I didn't know that.
And you know, they wanted to do it at this. You know, whatever. You know, everybody heard the stories before. But the problem with these stories is that these events are not consensual. So, you know, people are being abused. People are being threatened. You know, Stevie J supposedly is on a video with another man.
But they said, homeboy that was really in the video popped up and said it wasn't Stevie J. It was him.
It was him, the adult star that was in the video. And then he just claims that there were underage women and pictures and trafficking. And supposedly that Usher was having an affair with Diddy. You know, and again, this is all alleged, and of course, that's all consensual. The thing that I'm focusing on, because everybody is still shocked that some of these hip-hop artists and some of these artists are into, you know, certain sexual activities. You know, sexuality, if you don't know by now, in the entertainment business, is kind of fluid. Don't concentrate too much on that. Concentrate on the actual assaults and the crimes that are being committed. Once you focus on that, it'll really unravel the devil within the business.
Speaking of hip hop, a lot has been going on. This is the actual 35th anniversary release of De La Soul's 3 Feet High and Rising, which is a great album. The album was actually released February 6, 1989. You know, they've labeled this as art rap, progressive rap, jazz rap. This is one of the greatest albums. A lot of albums have followed the blueprint that they've put out, meaning as far as a lot of albums having skits, right? This is the first album that had skits on the album and everybody followed. I mean, they've had singles, hit songs like Potholes in My Lawn, Me, Myself, and I, and the most famous out of all is The Buddy with the Native Tongue. So you had Queen Latifah, Moni Love, Tribe Called Quest. Really dope album. 35 years today. Not today, well, this year.
And rest in peace to True Boy.
Yes, sir. Another album that hit a 35-year milestone, Queen Latifah's All Hail the Queen, released November 7th, 1989. She had a lot of dope records on that, too, like Dance For Me, Wrath of My Madness, and her biggest hit, with Moni Love, Ladies First. Yeah, so that was a dope album that came out 35 years ago. I have one more, you know, Gangstar, No More Mr. Nice Guy, which was a fucking... That's when I first heard Premier and was like, yo, who the fuck is this producer? And that came out April 22nd, 1989. And I mean, had songs like Positivity and Words I Manifest, which was a real, real dope album. So 35 years old for these albums that are still current and that still hit today.
Those albums, you know, or those iconic artists like Queen Latifah.
What?
You know, Gangstar, you mentioned. It's like, even today, you listen to those songs today, and they still sound fresh. They still sound amazing. And I love that hip hop from back in the day.
Of course, that hip hop is timeless.
Yeah.
It's not like this bullshit that we listen to.
So
all you people out there, listen to Ice Spice, Sexy Red, Kill Yourself. You know what I'm saying? Put your hands on your knees and play in traffic.
Run DMC. You know, Jam Master J.
Finally,
speaking of Jam Master J, I can't believe it took 22 years to convict these two gentlemen who killed Jam Master Jay.
Right. Allegedly over some drugs.
Allegedly over some drugs. But the problem I have with it, you know, is that there are actual people and record executives that knew all along
who these guys were.
Who it was, yet they did not come forward.
And didn't do anything. So rest in peace, Jam Master Jay.
Rest in peace, Jam Master Jay. And you guys will pay for your silence.
Oh yeah, they get in that booty hole tap. But maybe Diddy will probably get to them too while they, you know, when Diddy gets locked up with them. So I don't know. You know, still on the hip hop topic. What albums have you been listening to lately?
What albums have I been listening?
Yeah, because I have a few albums that I've just been listening to for the past couple of weeks while I've been on the road. That's been helping me, you know, put my mind together, get these jokes out.
I have to be honest. For the past couple of weekends, I've been on the boy band kind of bandwagon. You
like
know, NSYNC? Listening to NSYNC,
wow.
Backstreet Boys.
Wow. You know, 98 Degrees.
98 Degrees. Wow. You know, all that music, you know, from the past.
Who else is like a cool boy band? K-pop? You listen to K-pop?
K-pop. Oh, if I listen to K-pop, I listen to BTS.
Oh, the BTS.
Gotcha.
So K-pop is not a group. That's just the genre of music.
It's a genre of music,
gotcha.
But the group is BTS.
It's BTS.
And I've been saying it from the rooftops for many years. Yo, BTS. You know, yo, those kids can sing and they can dance. You know, people were laughing at me. Oh, you crazy.
Right.
But you know, when folks saw that video with Usher along with, I forget his name, Jungkook, I think his name is, standing next to you.
Right.
Simply just spectacular video.
That's dope.
It's amazing. They're very talented artists, and people really should pay attention. So I've been kind of like on the boy band.
That's the group that I've spent like maybe $300-$400, maybe $500 for a ticket for my niece to go when they were here in Madison Square Garden.
What, BTS?
Yes.
Totally worth the money.
I mean, for her.
Yeah.
For me, I was just like, yo, who are these dudes? You know what I'm saying? I guess if Halle Berry was an R&B singer, then I probably would spend that money to go see her sing. You know what I'm saying?
And you know why I say it's totally worth it? Because those kids put on a show. You know, they sing, right. They dance. It's a spectacle. It's kind of like when New Edition. When New Edition comes in town, you know, you stop what you're doing, you pay whatever it is because
right.
you know it's going to
be a dope show.
Yeah,
it's going to be a dope show.
The best group.
Hip-hop albums I've been listening to, like I said, listening to Stunts, Blunts, and Hip Hop. That's Diamond D's album.
Mm-hmm.
I've been listening to The Violator, the album, the full length album, which has various artists on there. You know, like Missy, Busta, Cameron, LL Cool J, The Beat Nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Listening to Breaking Atoms, which is a Main Source album. I don't know why that album is so fucking dope. And of course, listening to my man Style P, A Gangsta and a Gentleman, which was one of the fucking classic albums. Like I've always said, Styles P to me is that dude from the Locks. Of course, I love Jada's and Sheik, but I think for me personally, as a hip hop artist, Styles P is that dope. That's that dude.
You
and
know,
I've been listening to these albums.
You know what I like? There's one album I did listen to.
What's that?
You know, I ran into Tech from Smith & Wesson.
Shout out to Tech.
Usually
I run into Tech while we at the juice bar.
Yo, and I just had to...
Smith & Wesson,
and I had to listen to the album. But when I saw him, you know, I just had to pay homage to
right.
him and say, yo, you know, you were so instrumental, like your music.
Tell the full story, because this dude told me he walked back, paced back and forth before
so,
you know, he got the nerves.
So of course, you know...
like some groupie.
You know, Kamiki Whiskey was in the house. We were doing an event at the Brooklyn Navy Yard, and one of the folks that was showcasing was, of course, Tech, and he was promoting and pushing his merchandise. You know, he had t-shirts, he had great t-shirts, you know, wonderful. And, you know, I saw him, and I kind of didn't want to bother him. You know,
right.
It's like, you know, this is Tech, this is a great Tech. So instead of, like, approaching him, you know, immediately what I did was walk around in circles
right.
like a weirdo.
And did jumping jacks,
or did
push-ups.
Jumping jacks, push-ups,
gotcha.
Stretch, and all that for
right.
about an hour. I did that. I'm sure he thought I was crazy.
I would have thought so, too.
Right. But then my groupie senses started to tinkle.
Like Spider-Man?
A little, like Spider-Man. And I finally went up to him. I said, yo, I just wanted to say hello. You know,
like
I really
him.
Respect you and your music. and I didn't want to disturb you.
And
you know... you know, with these great...
Yeah, you said I didn't want to
You know, because, you know, with these great iconic artists, you know, I get a little nervous. I get like... I sound like a bitch. But, yo, it is what it is. And the brother, instead of making me feel like a total jackass, you know what he said? Yo, you would never be disturbed me. Yo, thank you. So he was so...
Nah, he's a good dude.
He was such a good dude. He's a good dude. So humble and respectful. And now, you know, now I have to, if I see him again, now I have to chase him for an autograph and picture and do the whole groupie thing.
Right. You got to run 3 miles before you actually step up, hey, can I get your autograph?
Right, right. You know, it's rare. You know, we both been in, shut up, Hope. So, you know, we both come from the industry, so we kind of jaded to it. But once in a while, you see artists that really had an impact in your life.
Right.
And you groupie out. You know,
what artist is not having an impact in my life right now?
Who?
Fat Joe.
Oh, my God.
He is truly getting on my nerves right now.
Right now?
I mean, well, he was getting on my nerves before, but I think this took it over the top. Fat Joe needs to be hit in the head with a wet newspaper. This nigga's out here talk about, you know, of course, everyone is a sneakerhead, right? So his excuse for buying Trump's sneaker was to say he's a sneakerhead, so that's the reason why he purchased the sneakers. But he is not a Trump supporter.
But listen,
and this is the shit that people need to understand. So he's not a Trump supporter. He doesn't support Trump. He doesn't... Anything that Trump does, he's against. But he purchases sneakers. Not realizing, when you purchase these sneakers, you're actually purchasing into his campaign.
Of course.
And your little $400 went into his campaign so that another young, privileged white kid could go to Home Depot and purchase a tiki torch and walk around these streets yelling racial slurs. So I'm just saying, Fat Joe, you're a clown. I think it was inappropriate for you to, you know, you preach and say, yo, I'm for the culture, and you do this for the black people, and you do this for the Puerto Ricans, Latinos, whatever. But fam, you purchased a pair of sneakers that pumped money into Trump's campaign. If Trav was here, Trav is somewhat of a supporter of Trump, right? Because he loves Trump.
Yeah, he supports Trump. He's good friends with Nicki Minaj,
all that. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, for you to say you don't support him, you don't do anything, and then to purchase the sneakers is actually supporting this dude. The sneakers do look cool. I like the gold. I like the red. I like the white. But, you know, would I buy a pair of the sneakers just to have in the sneaker collection? No. The sneakers may be a novelty for a lot of people, but I think, you know, just say, hey, I know what the cause is. You know what I mean? I don't support him, and I know I fucked up and my money went into his campaign by purchasing these sneakers, but as a sneakerhead, I wanted to purchase this. Now, if you took accountability for it, I'd be like, all right, cool. But you going around like changing the narrative on everything, fam. And you know, now you're no longer Joey Crack, because Joey Crack means something totally different, right? It means the crack of your ass. That's what he was talking about.
Right.
He's never sold drugs in his life. They used to call him Joey Crack because he was chubby, he was fat. You saw the crack of his ass when you're fraudulent, fam.
Right.
I don't know what narrative you're changing, but you know, that's what I was wanting to put out there.
You know, I just want to remind the audience that, of course, you know, never put any of these artists on a pedestal. They're all liars. they're all full of it, and they go for the highest bidder. You know, their loyalty goes as far as their options.
Right.
So, but you know what I thoroughly enjoy.
What's that?
When the whole Trump sneaker thing came out, you know, I was listening. I was watching a clip from Fox News.
Right.
And there was this gentleman speaking to the broadcaster saying, oh, you know, now, you know, the Trump is selling sneakers. He's going to get the black folks votes because black people love sneakers. And I never laughed so hard.
That shit was hilarious.
And the reason I laughed so hard is when I love when races are up front.
But they should. And they put it out there.
When they put it out there, because now you know who to stomp your Timberlands on. You know, now you know who you have to target, who you got to drag to the street. So if you get a chance, go to YouTube, look at that clip, and remember that guy's name. And if you see him out in these streets...
Yo, first of all, I just want to say...
I love it. I just
want to say Trump is the most hilarious individual in the world.
He is.
So at one of his press campaigns that he did, the lights were so bright, he was saying, I can't see anybody. but the only people I can see are the black people.
I love it.
And I was like,
wow. I love it. I love it.
And I said, you know what? That's kind of interesting.
I respect it.
That's kind of interesting because, you know, you shine a light on them.
Right, right.
Shine a light on them.
Right.
Like, I thought that shit was so funny because, you know, the bright lights, we do see everybody. We do see black folks. Right. What happens when you turn the lights on?
Right.
The roaches scatter.
Right.
I'm not saying black people are roaches, but I'm just saying that's what it is. When you're looking for somebody that owe you some money and he's hiding in the dark and you can't see him, you turn the light on and boom, there he is. So that analogy could mean several things, but coming out of Trump's mouth meant that it was just some type of racial shit. And people are still going to go, you know what? I support this dude. Because he's up front with his shit.
Well, I'm never gonna support him.
No, I'm just saying people will.
But I respect that he's up front. Like I said, I love when races are up front with their shit. I respect it because now you know who to stomp on.
Exactly.
Now you know who to, like, it's not a mystery. And I respect them for G'ing up and being like, yeah, this is how I feel about it.
So another racist individual, if you want to call him racist, your man Elon Musk. So he's being sued, him and Tesla, I guess him and the company Tesla are being sued by 6,000 black factory workers for allegedly failing to address all of the racism that's been going on in the factory.
Right.
So I guess when he turns the lights on, he sees all of the black folks. Exactly. I'm just saying. How do you feel about that? Because your man is, you know, every time he look, is, you know, he's, you know, something, he doesn't get that much light, but, you know, something is always going on with this dude.
You know, I've been looking at Elon crazy for many years now. You know, he says one thing, then he says the other.
Right.
You know, he wants to implant chips,
microchips in your brain,
people's brain. That should be a red flag right there. You know, his Teslas do not do what they say they're gonna do. You know, that self-driving thing did not perform. You know, did not perform well in independent tests.
Let me ask you a question: if he listens to hip hop, what type of album? Who would be his favorite artist? Fat Joe will be his favorite artist.
That would
be
his favorite.
Which album do you think would be? Would it be what, Joey Cartagena or Jealous One's Envy? Which one? Dada Flow Joe?
I think it's the Dada Flow Joe.
Dada Flow Joe's first album?
Yeah, that nonsense.
Wow. Gotta flow, Joe. Gotta let him know, Joe.
And I think Fat Joe is more Cuban, right? He's Cuban, right? He's not. Is he Cuban and then Puerto Rican?
No, he says he's Cuban. But
he's Cuban. I think he's more Cuban.
I think so?
Yeah, I think he identifies with the Cuban culture more than he does Puerto Rican
culture.
Yeah, I think Big Pun was Puerto Rican.
Right.
Straight up.
Straight up Boricua.
Straight up Boricua.
That's what's up. Wow.
Que pasa mi gente?
Mm-hmm. And Lucha Libre and La Ventana.
Right. All of that.
Right.
All
there you go, that. Son. My Spanish, I've been listening to Babbel, son. I fucks with Babbel a little bit. You know what I mean? Like, it's working for me.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
What's going on with your boy Mayor Swag? I heard one of his other aides, you know, they were raided up in the Bronx the other day.
Oh, they were?
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on. I think right at this point right now, I think Swag is just doing a whole lot. I didn't even hear about this new raid, but
yeah, it just happened yesterday.
I think he's just doing way too much. A lot of the migrants are now new scammers, and I think he's, you know, pumping more money into these businesses that they're operating.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And
so the migrants are now essentially staying in 4-star hotels.
They're even getting
pushed to getting federal jobs.
Right.
You know,
shit that I've been trying to get for the longest.
Right.
You know what
they are really getting the red carpet treatment, and I think it's disrespectful to the citizens here in New York City.
But you know what? A lot of the citizens love the abuse because I don't see anyone protesting or doing anything at this moment. So a lot of the shit that's going on.
Well, you know where they did protest? They protested in Staten Island.
Of course, because, you know, Staten Island is heavy populated with a lot of, mob lifestyle. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So I'm just saying, they're not going to allow that to happen. Even Long Islanders, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They're not going to allow that to happen.
Right, right.
People that live in, you know, live further up in Sag Harbor or, you know, as you go further up into the Hamptons, they're not allowing that. But, you know, everybody here in Brooklyn, Queens, especially the Bronx. Mm-hmm. The Bronx is heavily taking a lot of these migrants, and they're building apartments, sub-level apartments in basements, and they're getting raided. Yeah. You know, Harlem, wherever. I mean, nobody's really. I have not seen not one person really stand up and say, you know what, this is a nuisance. Like, we need to take a stand. You know, our community is getting damaged. You can't even walk along 42nd Street anymore. Mm. You know, without having to step on a little kid. You know, playing like it's a like I said, like it's a living room.
Wow.
So Swag, you know, he needs to get his shit together.
I think we have to revoke our sanctuary city status. I think
it needs to be. There should be a process. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I get it. You know, I mean, we definitely want. Because that's what this country was built off of, right? The country was built off of migrants coming from other countries and actually contributing to the development of American history, right? But I just don't... I think it's just a nuisance when you just allow anybody to just come in and then they're actually now figuring out how to use TikTok and how to use IG to promote their scams. Like, you know, there was one Venezuelan. This nigga was like, yo... Look, I just found a baby. So, yeah, they're giving me $10,000 for this little baby. Mm. And, you know, I have this apartment and I have, you know, this girlfriend. And, you know, we getting paid a thank you, taxpaying citizen, for allowing me to be blessed and enter your city and still cause a lot of bullshit and corruption that's going on. Because these dudes is getting locked up. And when you look at it, you know what I'm saying? That they're getting locked up, which is... It's a nuisance.
Everybody
shit.
Here knows I'm the conspiracy theorist, and I'm just letting everybody know. You know, get that extra water, get those batteries, get some extra food, because
talk about batteries. Batteries are so cheap now. I swear, every time we use batteries in our devices, them shits is dying within an hour. They don't make batteries like how they used to. Remember back in the day remember back in the day when the Chinese. Man or lady used to come on the train. They used to sell you the batteries for $1. Those lasted longer than the battery. I don't know what type of battery. Hold up, I think I'm using like Panasonic on this device here. I don't know.
But back
to what you were saying.
Getting back, a lot of military aides, Chinese dissidents. Men are coming through the border.
Right.
It's
over.
Be on alert. You know, when we do go to war, you know, don't expect it to come from outside. Yeah. They're already inside.
Here's the funny shit.
So, you know, be prepared for any blackouts that might occur, especially during the month of April.
Yeah. The apocalypse is about to hit. Anyway, speaking of apocalypse, I see Oprah has said that she's stepping away from Weight Watchers. I don't know why this was interesting to me and why I wanted to talk about it. You know, the stock dropped maybe about 20%. That's only about 70%. So Oprah has revealed that, you know, she is taking weight loss pills. And I mean, I've seen her body. Kind of looks good. Oprah has a Pokemon. I didn't know she had a fat ass. Between her and Gail, son, I think Gail has Gail has the nicest. And I've seen it up close. And I was just like, wow. Remember when we went to the concert, and Gail was sitting on that chair, and as she sat down, like, her ass was poking out through the little window of the back of the chair, and I was like, Alex, look, Gail has a fatty. Gail has a fatty. But yeah, I don't know why this story was interesting to me. It's just now seeing Oprah. Oprah is like, you know, her body's getting slim. Mm-hmm. She's no longer the, you know, the chubby Oprah that we're used to seeing on television. Mm-hmm. Oprah is out here. You know, she might be getting her little, you know, Oprah's got her groove back. I don't know if she's looking out here for young dick or whatever, but she's looking great, son. And I think it's all due to these pills.
You know, no disrespect to Oprah fans, but Oprah has been lying through her teeth. From the beginning, you know, she knows damn well she did not use Weight Watchers to...
Well, we know Weight Watchers doesn't. Weight Watchers is actually a meal prep program. That's what Weight Watchers is. Weight Watchers is just meal prepping. She's actually using these pills, like, what is it? Xanax or whatever.
Ozempic.
Ozempic.
A diabetic.
Is a diabetic pill. Ozempic, she's using, I think, like, coffee pills.
She may have used surgery. She may have gotten surgery. Who knows at this
point? Right. At this point, right. Who really knows? But I'm just saying, Oprah's looking good. She's no longer on Weight Watchers. Weight Watchers is losing. Stocks are going down. So I don't know what that means for white folks. I mean, because, you know, Oprah's fan base is a lot of, you know, middle-aged white women. Mm-hmm. So you think if she bounces, these middle-aged white women are going to follow her and start taking these pills?
Yeah, I think, you know, this too will pass, as they say.
Right.
You know, the next scandal will pop and people will forget all about Oprah lying.
I don't know why Oprah didn't invest in them teas that these black chicks are always drinking. Like,
why didn't Oprah invest in Taraji P. Henson? Yeah, there's a lot of questions.
Yo, that's crazy.
We got for Oprah.
Yo, I just want Wreck-It, I think that's the name of the company. It's a company that owns Durex condoms. Mm-hmm. They're actually turning to live stream to sell their condoms in China, like live streaming to actually sell their product. And they're testing these products out in real time to customers. That's basically pornography, because if you're actually selling and you want to show the durability of a condom and you're doing it on a live stream, isn't like a dude taking like, well, here's a condom.
Oh, so
like,
they're doing porn? They're live streaming porn?
I may believe so, because this
and
is what they're saying.
Showing the product in action? Is that what's
they're
happening?
They're selling their products. They're selling the condom products on a live stream.
But how are they doing it?
That's what I want to know. I think this is porn going mainstream now. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, in order to see if the product works, you have to test it out, right?
Right.
I'm just saying, right? Like, you want to buy a car. What do you do with a car? You get in the car, you look at everything, you play with the buttons, and they say, hey, you want to do a test drive? Boom, you're doing the test drive. Mm-hmm. With a condom, I'm just assuming you take the condom out of the bag, out of the box, and like, hey, here's the condom. Look at the wrapper, nice and shiny. Mm-hmm. Look at the way the box presentation is. Oh, it's nice. I like that. Look at the different colors. Look at the raised lettering. You know what I'm saying? The raised logo. What does the condom look like out of the packet? So you open it up, here's the condom. It may be green, blue, yellow, we don't know, right? Straight latex. Does it work? Well, let's test drive it. Boom. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And this is what they're doing. They are fucking doing live streaming, trying to sell this product. Mm. So I would believe that, you know, there's probably a room full of Chinese men. Mm-hmm. And it's just basic orgy, you know, all out orgies on this live stream.
Oh, I
to sell his product. So now as a consumer, if I'm sitting there, I'm like, damn, look at this little Asian man go. Yo, I want that condom. That he, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm just assuming that. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. I mean, can you help me out, nigga? Damn.
Can
the people help me out? Damn. I'm just trying to figure this shit out. Because this is weird to me.
I never heard this story. I don't know where you saw
this
that.
This shit is weird to me.
That's why I'm trying to get context from you. Like, what exactly is happening? But
This is what I read. This is what the company is doing. The company.
So they are doing an orgy.
I don't know. I haven't logged on. This is what I read. This is what. I go on trending feeds just to see what sparks my interest, what we can talk about, because I tend to try to move away from what everyone else is talking about and talk about something that you could probably. But this is funny to me as a comedian. This company is fucking doing live streaming to sell a product.
Okay.
What do you do when you sell a product? You have to put it out there. And I don't know if this come in China, you could get away with you may be able to get away with a lot of shit in China. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying Durex condoms are being sold on a live stream somewhere in China, and I believe that there are people testing these condoms, and is actual live porn in real time, just to show you the durability of these condoms.
So what Wavy's letting us know is that he's a freak.
Lightly. But I'm saying, that's just my business. Please don't put my business out in these fucking streets.
I think you put your business out. You're on these weird channels watching these live streams. But okay, you know, I guess I got to look for that too. I didn't even know that was going on.
And here's a bigger freak than me.
Yeah,
what the fuck?
So I'm going to look too.
Oh,
I
want
to see what's going on too.
Yeah. So it's interesting. It's interesting. Have you been smoking cigars? I smoked a cigar the other day, man. I had a great cigar. I had like this a Toro Fuente, a Hemingway, which is the Untold Story, which is a cigar that I got.
What
really
are you
dope.
Smoking out Toro Fuente?
It was rated a 93. Mm-hmm. Dope cigar. Maduro, lots of flavor. Shit was really dope, you know what I mean? And I smoked it, and I thought it was great. And then I went in to see if there were other cigars that I could try that had, you know, something similar to that. Also had an Almec, which is the double Corona. I don't know if you had an Almec.
No.
The Almec, which is a great cigar. It's rated 93 as well. Flavors, you know, you get almond, honey, caramel.
Nice.
You know, Maduro wrapper. The blend is the binder is a Honduras wrapper, Sandreas. Really dope. And then of course there's a cigar that I want to get, which is the Patron 1926, the series 1926, the number 9, which is a Maduro that's rated 92. Complex flavors. It's like hints of coffee, dark chocolate, taffy. You know, great. Heavy, it's not too heavy on the palate.
Right.
You know, has hints of red pepper. Has earthy notes to it.
I think it goes
great with cigar with coffee. You know what I'm saying? Like these are just the cigars. I had these two. The other one I'm trying to get. I want to just go purchase it and smoke it and see what's going on and give you guys feedback to all of my cigar smokers that are out here listening to 92.6 The Spot every Saturday from 12 to 1. If you have any questions, anything about cigars, you know, you can always email us at theignorantknowitalls@gmail.com or hit us on IG, The Ignorant Know It Alls, and we'll get back to you.
You know, great minds must think alike, because I too also had the Arturo Fuente.
Did you? Which one did you have?
Because
you didn't have the Untold Story.
No, I didn't have that one. I forget which one I had. It wasn't the Hemingway. You know, I usually go for the Hemingway.
The Hemingways are good.
I love them. That's one of my favorite cigars. But I was at Barclay Rex, and I had a Arturo Fuente.
Nigga, what you doing in my spot, yo?
Yeah, my spot. And
whatever, son.
You know, I had a really good time. You know, the downstairs is open now at Barclay Rex. It wasn't open for a minute due to flooding. But it's open now, and it was a really good time.
For those that love to smoke, you can go to Barclay Rex. The Barclay Rex is downtown on Pearl Street. It's Pearl. It's right next to, it's actually literally across the street from the Continental. Mm-hmm. Meaning that the building that's in John Wick, which is labeled as the Continental, the hotel,
indeed.
It's across the street from that spot. But it's a great location. They have a dope lounge upstairs for members. But if you go there, you know, ask for Joanna. Tell Joanna the Ignorant Know-It-All sent you. We're always there. So, you know, dope spot, though. You could just meet us out there. You know what I'm saying? You bring the whiskey, we have the cigars. You know what I mean?
That's right. That's right. I was sitting there with my Kamiki, drinking up. So
you always bring a Kamiki.
Kamiki whiskey and drinking up drinking up some good Kamiki and smoking a great cigar. And it was just a wonderful day. I love doing that when I can sit and relax at a great lunch.
Right. Yeah. That's dope.
Yeah, so the other day, you know, when we were hanging out the other day, you were talking about some comedy shows, I guess some specials that are
out. So right.
Go ahead.
I appreciate you for bringing that up. So the question was, being that Donnell Rollins had his comedy special out, right? Monique had her comedy special out. There was a video that was posted by another comic stating that it's self-hatred for individuals to talk bad about these comedy specials that came out. Like when Monique first came out, when she dropped her comedy special on Showtime, a lot of people were just like, or on Netflix, a lot of people were like, yo, that shit was trash. No one really could get involved. You know, no one can, you know, tune in or relate to it because, you know, the amount of, you know, cuss words and, you know, every other word was motherfucker this, motherfucker that. So a lot of people, you know, critiqued it. You know what I mean? As they should, you know, because if you're watching something, regardless if it's white or black, if you're watching it and it doesn't agree with you, you can't relate to it, you know, and you say something, does that really make you a hater or have self-hatred towards your own kind?
No.
You know what I mean? Like Donnell Rollins' special just dropped a couple of days ago. I watched the special. Donnell Rollins is very funny to me, but it just didn't hit the way I thought it should have hit.
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
Well, this is my opinion on all that. You know, I think the black community as a whole is not a monolith. We do not all think alike.
Right.
You know, we all have different opinions.
Of course.
And, you know, these specials, you know, it's subjective. You know, some people will like it, some people will love it, and some people will just dislike it.
And then they
I don't think you should just like it because the comedian is black. I think that's absolutely ridiculous.
Right.
You know, it's just like, you know, I'm not going to think something is funny because a certain white comedian or Puerto Rican comedian said, you know, oh, it's just funny because he's Puerto, you know, that's ridiculous.
Right.
So yeah, you know, people have the right to say, you know, for me,
they have the right to their own opinion.
Right. For me, that's using the race card. You know, that's what I call that. But you know what self-hatred means to me?
What?
You know, I have an example here. So we all know Jeffrey Osborne, right? Jeffrey Osborne is one of the great singers, right?
Give the song so somebody can hear it.
Jeffrey Osborne, you know, look him up. But he was sued for
over $2 million. Oh, my goodness. Just give the name of a song.
He was sued for over $2 million after allegedly discriminating against two women during a concert. He reportedly told the audience, "I want a white woman to help him sing his song."
Wait, what?
So
wait, hold up. You just fucking lost me there. So wait, just went from having self-hatred.
Yeah, you wanted an example. You know, the example.
This is your example.
The example of self-hate is not criticizing the special because
you
didn't like it.
Got you.
Self-hate
okay.
is this right here.
Go ahead.
Being sued because when he was singing his hit song, he wanted white women
to sing the song.
To come up and sing the song with. See now. That,
please tell me what the song.
Now,
please tell me.
Tell me what
the song is.
That's what I call self-hate. They
oh my
not
goodness!
Identify what the song was that he was singing. You know, that's really not the point.
But I want for our listeners, because a lot of people that probably listen to this show know who the fuck Jeffrey Osborne is. Please give the name of that song that he wanted these white women, these snow bunnies, these Caucasian persuasions to sing. You know what I mean? That's like. But you know what? A white woman did it. Because I was about to say, you know, that's like Lionel Richie having a whole bunch of white people saying, "Hello, is it me you're looking for?" Adele did it.
He wanted the white woman to help him sing the song, "You Should Have Been Mine."
Should have been mine.
The Woo Woo song. It's a big hit in 1986. So you know, everybody go and listen to that song right now. But see, now that's a great example of self-hatred. You know, you're not self-hatred
because you don't want black women to
correct.
Sing the song.
Right.
Even though you're a black artist.
Correct. That's self-hatred right there. But self-hatred
is not
criticizing a special
right.
Because you know it was trashy. That's not self-hatred.
Got you. Okay. I hear that.
But
there was another topic that we had too that I wanted to talk about.
What's
I think
that?
It was I forgot what it was. But you know, to go back to the specials, right? So now, you know, Tone Special is out, right? Everybody that didn't watch it, please go to Amazon Prime. It's up on Amazon Prime. Tony Rocks Rock the World, which is a dope comedy special that he has out. It was interesting to me to see that once Donnell Rollins' special was coming out, a lot of comics posted up on their social media to go see Donnell Rollins. You know, it's kind of interesting is like a lot of these comics that know Tone,
right.
You know, when Tone is at various comedy clubs will pop up and pull up at these clubs and, you know, "Hey, can I get some time? Hey, can I," you know, being the kind-hearted individual that he is, he would give these brothers the time to get on stage to perform.
I didn't know you were going to bring this up, by the way.
I had to bring it up because it was kind of bothering me a little bit because, you know, it's a shame that, you know, these dudes that, you know, you come to these shows and, you know, you ask for this time but then couldn't take the time to promote this man's comedy special.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to name any names. I just want to put it out there as...
Well I'm going to name names.
No. Don't name any names.
Why not?
Because I don't feel like fighting. I don't feel like throwing these hands up.
Okay.
You know, these dudes will know who they are if they listen to this podcast. And it was just interesting that these dudes was promoting and posting up, you know, a lot of the flyers that Netflix had put out for Darnell shit.
Right.
You know, Tone has, you know, and this goes to everybody that follows Tone. Tone has a fucking great following. Tone sells out comedy shows every fucking weekend, right? Mm-hmm. Tone is doing fine. It's just the fact that it doesn't cost you nothing as an individual to promote someone you know, right? Like, we always constantly post up. Tone posts up our stuff. We post up Tone stuff, right? This is just the general circle that Tone has. But for some of these other dudes that are out there that, you know, may beg for the stage time when this dude is up there performing at these certain clubs, but you didn't take the time out to say, hey, Tone, send me that flyer so I could just post it up. Whether we're not asking you to post it up on your page, but post it up on a story like, yo, my man's special is out. Go check it out. You know what I'm saying? Which is a dope special, by the way. And I think Tone's special is knocking a lot of these niggas' specials that's currently on Netflix out the box.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's currently knocking out these niggas. Like, it was a shame. Like, I'm not saying... Darnell, I watched it. I thought it was cool. It didn't hit the way it did. And what I had to do was I had to go back and watch Tone's special in order to, you know, get the laughs that I needed. And I watched Tone special like back and forth, front and back. Like, I know all of it, but it's always something in there. I'm like, oh shit, look, he said that this shit was hilarious. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But it doesn't cost nothing to show love. That's my point. It doesn't cost anything to show a nigga some love, right? Because when you want something, you definitely gonna sacrifice yourself to go all out your way to be like, yo, can you do this for me? Can I get on stage? I may be reaching and but I'm just saying, it is what it is. And if somebody's listening to it and takes offense to it, it is what it is. I don't really care. But, you know, you're quiet right now. Like, you're really not saying anything.
Well, you know, you kind of told me not, you know, I was going to name it.
I don't want you to name, because I don't feel, dude, I just don't feel like, I don't feel like fighting. Like, I don't want the hassle of a nigga running up on me and then I have to smack the shit out of somebody.
I'll just say this, you know, whenever Tone doesn't get the respect and tribute that he deserves,
right,
you know, I always take it personal. You know, I don't say anything because, you know, that's his world. That's your world. You know, I don't know what he knows. I don't know what kind of relationship. I tend to stay out there. But I take things like that super personal. I also did not see many of the other comedians, posting up or right, just supporting his special. You know, I think Tony is one of the most generous, you know, talented comedians out there. He is
not
master.
Just a comedian, talented individual.
Exactly. He is one of the masters. I think it's just low-key jealousy. You know, one thing
I don't think you could call it low-key jealous. You want to say low-key?
I'm going to say
is that the word that we're using, low-key?
I'm using that because, or else I'm just going to name that. One thing I would like to say, or would
that?
Like to see, mm-hmm, is Miss Sherry Shepherd bring Tone onto her show, because I remember a while ago, you know, Tone gave her some time at
what
one
do you
of
mean
his
a while?
Shows.
We went in Atlanta.
Correct.
And Sherry went over time.
She came by and asked for time.
She burned the light.
And Tone was gracious enough during his show to give her some light. So I think, you know, that if anybody's listening, any producers from the Sherry Shepherd show, right, I think it would be wonderful to book
and that's
Tony.
And that's all to reciprocate.
You know, to book Tony on the show and have him on for more than one segment.
Right.
And really interview and find out so people can really understand what kind of dude Tony Rock is.
Right.
And that's what I'm going to say.
Just reciprocate the love,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's all.
And don't get me wrong. I was you know, blessed to introduce Sherry Shepherd to come out the show that night. You know what I mean? Sherry is a great person.
She is.
Very funny. You know, we did laugh at her because she did burn the light. And she kept going, and I know she was trying to get in that rhythm, and the rhythm was hitting. And, you know, when she got that first laugh, second laugh, third laugh, it's like, oh, shit, let me continue to keep going. You know, but like I said, to reciprocate, okay, you know, you gave me the time to get on stage. Yo, I'm going to do this. And, you know, let's see what the producers can do to get you on the show. Right? Whether you said it's just for a few minutes or, you know, for a few segments.
Right.
Reciprocated. But like I said, you know, like I see it, and it's like, you know, there's dudes that have come like, yo, let me get on stage, and he gives you that stage time, and then, you know, nobody's showing that love. Like I said, it doesn't cost you to show love. Nigga, just show it. Appreciate, you know what I mean? Like an appreciation. Like, yo, give the nigga a shout out. Like, yo, what's up? You know, and the same thing with me. Like, I, you know, like, I'm grateful for, you know, Tori Hart giving me the opportunity. So whatever it is that I can do to continue to promote what she's doing, I'm gonna do it. You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna do it. Same thing with other comics like Kenny Wu, like Chris Grant, like Marlon Randolph. These are dudes that I've showed love to. They showed me love. You know what I mean? So I'm gonna continue to do it. Now, what you wanted to say?
Yeah,
because you all.
No, because you're going on and on.
Yeah, I let you go on and on. So go ahead, break it down.
And I just wanted to say this. You know, as I get older, I'm just starting to realize that people are just thoughtless. People are thoughtless. They don't show tribute when they should, and they take things for granted.
Show tribute, nigga. Show tribute
and take things for granted. You know, they take it for granted. You know that when you're generous and kind, you know, people mistake it for other things, for weakness, or they assume you got it like that.
Right.
You know, it's just not like that. And it just goes to show it's low-key jealousy, low-key thoughtless, a whole bunch of things. There's a whole lot of issues going on, but I do take it personal when Tony doesn't get the tribute.
And as a matter of fact, if you want to know who the names are, you want to know who we're talking about, why don't you email us? Email us at theignorantknowitall@gmail.com. You guys can hit up Ben at 926thespot@gmail.com to find out who we're talking about. You could call a radio station if you want. As a matter of fact, slide in the DM and we'll definitely send you those names. You know what I'm saying? But we're not going to put the names up. I'm not going to mention the names, like I said, because I don't feel like... I do like the fight, but I just don't feel like fighting right now. I think it's worthless.
Yeah.
It's useless. It's worthless. You know, these are dudes that, I really don't beg or ask to do things. You know, I ask once. When you be like, oh, yeah, I could get you on, then you don't. And then I just be like, eh. And I fall back and do what I got
to
do.
But I do want Sherry Shepherd to holler at
me. Sherry Shepherd, yes. Yes, Sherry. Holla at Tone. Like, you really want to see Tone. Yeah, we really want to see Tone up on the show. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
So, my final thought before we get out of here, I want to give everybody a shout. Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, everybody that's overseas listening to the show. You know, we're here every Saturday, 12 to 1, 926thespot.com. You know, after the next week, during the week, Wednesday, the show goes up on iTunes, Spotify, YouTube, and all that stuff. I just want to give a shout out to everybody that continues to listen, continues to support. Please subscribe, download the app, listen to us. My final thought is, nigga, show some love. Nigga, show love. Nigga. Like, I don't show, it doesn't cost a nigga to show some love. You know what I'm saying?
Every day.
Show a little love. You know what I mean? Show a little compassion. Show some tribute to it.
I didn't realize that.
You know what I'm saying?
People are just thoughtless and don't want to show tribute.
Show some tribute, nigga. Show some love.
Making a lot of excuses. A lot of excuses.
That's crazy.
And you know, my final thought is kind of personal, but I wanted to give a shout out to my mom.
Shout out, mom.
Today's the anniversary of her passing away.
Yes.
Mom, I miss you. I love you, of course, always and forever.
And you know I miss you when we used to sit by the Brooklyn Library and eat wontons. Yep. You know what I'm saying?
So rest in peace. I love you.
Yes. And it's your boy, Wavy McGuire, a.k.a. the ignorant know-it-all, the lazy genius. And I'm chilling with my man,
Mr. Brooklyn Basquiat. And we'll see you next time on the Ignorant Know-It-All.
Yo, we out of here. Peace.